thank you for being here tonight. It's good to see everyone. Nice and toasty out today. But no snow yet, so. Psalm chapter 31. And we are going to start in verse number 9. Psalm 31 and verse number 9, the Bible says this. The Bible says, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was reproached among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. O how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." Amen. Praise the Lord for that. And I'd like to just preach tonight, kind of from verse 19, on God's great goodness. God's great goodness. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity to be in church tonight, Father. Thank you, God, for a place that we can gather, Father, to sing some of these good old hymns. And Lord, just rejoice in your goodness. Rejoice in your love. Rejoice in your salvation. Rejoice in the fact that we get to see you one day, Father. Thank you for these people gathered here. Lord, just having like-minded brothers and sisters in Christ that are trying to live for God, trying to do right, trying to serve you. Lord, and I thank you for this place and for this church, Lord. I thank you, God, for saving me. I thank you, Father, for just your goodness, God. You've been so very good to me. And tonight, Father, as we get into the message, Lord, I pray that you'd help me be able to portray that. Lord, help me be able to just encourage and exhort these folks here tonight, God, just to remember your goodness, to be able to trust in you, Father. And Lord, I need your help to do that. And so, Father, right now, as I stand behind this pulpit, I plead the blood of Christ and ask that you would cleanse me in that blood, that, Lord, you would empty me of sin, self, and pride, and anything, God, that would stop your power and stop you from using me. And, Father, fill me with what I need to preach this message. God, these folks have been faithful on a Sunday night to come to your house, Lord, to be faithful, to be here. And I pray you'd bless them for that, Lord. And, Father, they don't need to hear from me tonight, God. If they just hear from Aaron Riddle, it's not going to mean anything. It's not going to help anything. It's not going to change anyone's life. But, God, if you would speak to them, Father, whether it's the topic of the message, maybe it's just a passing verse or a passing thing. But Lord, if you're the one that speaks to hearts, that's what's going to make a difference, Lord. And that's what I want, God. That's what I need tonight, Father. I need your power. I need your strength. I need your might. And so, Father, right now, I pray that you would get me out of the way. Lord, I pray you'd calm my mind and my thoughts. And Lord, that every word that comes out of my mouth would be from you for this time, for this hour, for these people. And so, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you're real. Thank you, God, that you speak to us. And I thank you, God, that you care enough about us that on a Sunday night in 2025, that Lord, you want to do something in our hearts tonight at Faith Baptist Church. And so, God, I don't want to get in the way of that. So, Father, please help me. I need you so very much, God. Help me preach as a dying man to dying men. And I'll be sure to give you the praise and glory and honor because you are the one that deserves it. And I pray all these things in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And so as we come here to Psalm chapter 31, we find that David is not doing very well. And you look here kind of in the beginning verses that we read in verses 9 and 10, David speaking says, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity and my bones are consumed." I think that's a pretty good way to put that, that he's not doing too hot, amen? That he is struggling a little bit, not even just a little bit, but man, he says in verse 9 that my eye is consumed with grief, my soul, my belly, my life. He's going through it, he's facing troubles, he's facing adversity. He says in verse 10, "For my life is spent with grief." And so he's kind of in a bad spot, right? I don't think it takes too much to look at that and say, okay, David's having a hard time here. But it's amazing to me that even in the midst of trouble, and even in the midst, and we didn't even read all the verses where he talks about being a reproach and being forgotten and all these things that he's going through and being consumed with grief and all these aspects, that even in the midst of this, David still proclaims the goodness of God. And David still talks about the great goodness of God. If you look in verse 19, he says this, "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men." And like I said, when you really think about that, this is not, I mean, and you see sometimes David doing that where he's talking about the victories God has given him and the strength God has given him and all these great things that God's done. Of course, you see those psalms and he's praising God and lifting up the name of the Lord, and that's understandable, right? Because things are going well, things are going good. But yet in this same passage when he's saying, man, my whole life is consumed with grief. Man, I am facing trouble and I am facing adversity and it's not easy and it's not fun and it's not pleasant. That even in the midst of this, he doesn't just say that, man, God's good. He says, man, oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up. He brags on the goodness of God and puts a focus on how good God is. And I think tonight it's a good reminder that even in the midst of troubles, God is still good. And church, God isn't just good when everything's going well and going our way and going our plan. God is good no matter what we're facing and no matter what we're going through. Because simply he is good, but we serve a God that even in the midst of our trials can bring good out of those things. That can do great things, that can turn our weeping into joy and our night into mourning and give us that song in the night that we so desperately need. That's the God we serve. And he's a great God and a great Savior, amen, that even in the midst, and even if I'm going through something or you're going through something, not just when everything's fine, but even in the midst of troubles, even if we would say like David, man, I am just full of grief and sorrow and all that, you know what? God is still good. Because he's still proven to me that he is good. And you see that kind of, keep your spot here because we'll be going back, but go to Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. Something kind of along the same lines, Lamentations chapter 3. And even think of the word, Lamentations, the name of this book means kind of sorrow, means sadness, means a crying out because of the hardships, because of the trials, because of the struggles of Israel and what they're going through. So that's the whole point of this book is the kind of the hardness of life and what's happening in Israel at this time. And you look in verse number 18, the Bible says this, Lamentations 3:18. The writer says, "And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall." And so once again, this is not someone going through a great fun time and everything's going their way and everything's sunshine and roses and there's no problems and there's no issues. No, this is the guy saying, man, I'm remembering my affliction and my misery. Like, that's where I'm at right now. That's at the forefront of my mind. But look what he continues to say. Verse 20, "My soul hath him still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him." And so once again, just like David the writer, I believe it's Jeremiah, going through this hard time, going through this difficult time. And yes, there is the hardships. And yes, there is the, man, this isn't very fun. But the reminder and the proclamation that, you know what, God is still good. And because the Lord is my portion, his soul says, hey, I can hope in him. And folks, because if you're saved and born again, God is your God and Jesus Christ is your Savior and he's your portion, you can still say God is good, that there still is hope in the Lord, that this isn't just all there is and I just have to always be down and downtrodden and depressed and sorrowful. Yes, there's times that are difficult and hard and all those things, but God is still good and he has great goodness. And we find that, once again, going back to Psalm chapter 31, that when you fear the Lord and trust in him, he has great goodness in store for you. And that's, once again, that's what the Bible says. In verse 19, oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Whether you're going through a difficult time or whether you're not, God has still promised, and David still says, hey, God has great goodness in store for those that fear and trust in him. Now look, that's not a life without problems. That's not what he's talking about here when he's saying that God has great goodness in store. It's talking about how God will bless you in awesome ways. But that doesn't mean life's perfect. And I think a great example of that is Joseph. Right? When you look in the Old Testament of the life of Joseph, I think all of us would say that, man, God had great goodness in store for Joseph, right? I mean, he became second in command in Egypt, and he was given a wife, and he was given kids, and he was given authority, and put in a position where God could use him. Like, we would all say that was great goodness, right? You can nod your head tonight. It's okay. Right? Amen? But you also look at the rest of his life, and you know what you find? That Joseph's life wasn't all just sunshine and roses, though. That God's goodness for Joseph didn't mean he never had any problems or never had any issues or never had any heartbreak or never had any sorrow. In fact, you find before he experienced God's great goodness, he had to trust in the Lord and fear God. Because you look, for 13 years, Joseph's life was kind of misery, right? He was 17 years old when he was sold by his brothers into slavery. And it wasn't until he was 30 years old that he was brought up out of prison. That's 13 years. That's a long time to be sold into slavery and be a servant of someone and have to resist that person's wife because they're trying to sin with you and then be cast into prison for something you didn't, right? That's a long time to go through difficulty. But God still had great goodness laid up for him. And so just because you're going through hardships or difficulties or trials or life isn't maybe panning out exactly the way you thought, hey, Joseph was there. But that doesn't mean God isn't good. That doesn't mean he doesn't have great goodness in store for you. And once again, we don't preach this, like I said, prosperity gospel of like, man, just get saved and live for God and life will be wonderful and you'll never have any issues and problems. But I think sometimes we do forget that it's worth it to live for God. That it's worth it to do what's right because God will bless you in awesome ways. Well, you'll look back and say, man, God has shown me great goodness. Man, I can say in my life, God has been good to me, right? I was the first one this morning to raise my hand when Pastor said, anyone have something good this past year, right? Man, I met May Naomi. I get to marry her next year. I'm excited about that. Amen. God has blessed me and God's been good to me. Someone beyond my wildest dreams that I can say, it's not just good, but man, God's given me great goodness. But you know what? There was 12 years that I had to wait. That I had to go through the, am I going to be single for the rest of my life? Am I a loser because I can't find a wife? Am I this and that? I'm doing something wrong. All these people are praying for me, but why isn't it work? Right? I'm just trying to get the picture that, hey, God had great goodness and has given me great goodness. But that didn't mean life was always easy and life was always, oh, this is wonderful. Man, there were times where I was like, I don't know how I'm going to do another day. Because I just don't see what, I don't get it, I don't understand it, all the things that go along with that, right? And if you've waited for anything and prayed for anything, you know what that's like. But then one day, for whatever reason, a pastor from down in San Pedro, California said, hey, we want you to come down and sing for us, especially that associate pastor, have him come down. And we go down there and One service walks in and just, oh, and it's there you go. The rest is history, amen. Because that's what God can do. And I will testify that God has shown me great goodness, amen. And I'm not ashamed to say that. I'm praise the Lord, I'm happy about it. But that doesn't mean life's perfect. That doesn't mean you don't go through any troubles or any issues. Or now that, hey, I'm going to get to marry Naomi, that my life's going to be perfect. It's still life. Until we get to heaven, there's going to be problems and issues and trials and struggles. But the point being is God has great goodness in store for you. I'm not anything special that God's just like, oh, Aaron Riddle gets special dispensation than everybody else and I get to be good to Aaron Riddle. No. If you're faithful to live for him and to trust in him and fear him as we talk, God does have great goodness in store for you. And that may not be the exact thing that he has for me, and it may not be exactly how you thought it was going to be, but God has said that in his word. Oh, how great is thy goodness which thou hast laid up for them. God's great goodness. But as you look in this, we see that to experience God's great goodness, right, if you want to see that great goodness, as I've kind of already referenced, he gives us two things in this passage that you need to do, right? And first off, and we're not going to focus as much on this, but you need to fear the Lord, right? It says, oh, how great is thy goodness which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. If you experience God's great goodness, you know what you need to do? You need to fear him. And what that means, it means to hate evil. Proverbs 8:13, the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. You need to hate sin, amen. And can I say tonight, if you want to experience God's great goodness, it doesn't mean you're involved in sin and comfortable with sin and love sin and just live however the way you want and do however you want. You need to hate evil, amen. And I'm afraid as Christians today, we've kind of gotten away from that. And we become comfortable with sin and comfortable with doing our own thing. And look, Jesus said in, I think, Matthew 8:44, that God makes the sun rise on the wicked as well as the good. And hey, God's still good whether we live for him or not, amen. But if you want to experience God's great goodness, you need to fear him. And I'm afraid too many Christians want to live the way they want. They want to watch whatever they want. They want to look at whatever they want. They want to listen to whatever they want. They want to dress however they want. They want to act however they want. They want to be full of pride and bitterness and envy and all these things and then expect God to show them great goodness. And that's not how it works. Because the fear of the Lord's to hate evil. And it doesn't mean we have to be perfect because none of us would ever experience God's goodness then. But there should be a fear of God and, hey, no, I hate evil. I want to live for God. I want to do right. And that's the type of person God blesses. It's fearing God, hating evil, and it's also obeying his word, kind of along those same lines as we talked about. In Isaiah 66:2, the Bible says, to this man, God speaking, says, to this man will I look to. He is of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Has a respect for the word of God, has a reverence for the word of God, that when the Bible says, do this or don't do that, it's not just like, well, if I feel like it, I'll do it, and if it's convenient, I'll do it. No, someone who lives it, someone that realizes it's the word of God, so I better pay attention to it. And so I'm just trying to say this evening that if you want to experience God's great goodness, you better fear the Lord. You better hate evil and tremble at his word and live according to his word, amen. But that's not the main part I want to focus on tonight. I want to focus on the trusting in the Lord part because that's the other aspect of this. The Bible says, oh, how great is thy goodness which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Trusting in the Lord. Christian, you will never see God's great goodness in your life if you don't trust him. If you don't learn to trust in God, you are never actually going to see God's great goodness that he has planned for your life. When you look through the scripture and look through the Bible or even hear testimonies, and once again, we can all talk about God's goodness and just, but I mean God's great goodness. I mean the things you look at and go, wow, that's incredible. The things that, you know, Pastor makes a joke this morning about, yeah, it has to be God's amazing, marvelous thing because only he could do it, right? About me meeting someone, which I say, amen, I get it. But those amazing things, when you look, you know what you see in everyone's life that they had to trust in God before God did that great thing for them? Noah had to trust in God and build a boat before he would be saved from the flood, right? He had to trust that, okay, never seen rain, I've never experienced this, but God said do it, and I'm going to do it.
Abraham had to trust in God to just say, I'm going to leave my family and everybody I know and everything and just start walking and trust that God's going to give me someone who's old and doesn't have a kid. I got to trust. And guess what? God blessed him in the nation of Israel. God blessed Joseph because he trusted in him, right? All the times where Joseph could have said, what, I had these visions, I had these dreams of my brethren and the sun moon starts bowing down to me and now I'm sold into slavery and now I'm lied about and now I'm in prison, right? All these times where he could have just thrown in the towel and given up, but you know what he did? He trusted in God, and that's why one day Pharaoh could say, hey, I have a dream. Can someone interpret it? And then God could lift him up. Man, as I said, all the times in the past 12 years where I could have just said, well, forget this because I haven't seen it happen and I've lived for God and I've done right and I've kept myself pure and this hasn't worked out and that thing hasn't worked out and I haven't met someone yet. Like, right? I had to trust in God. And Christian, in your life, if you're going to experience God's great goodness and what he has planned for you, you have to trust him. And that's not just when everything's easy. That's not just when it all makes sense. That's not trust then. If you can see the outcome and you can see how it's going to work out and you can kind of have your hands on it and be like, well, I'm not in that much of trouble. That's not trust. Trust is when you look at the situation and say, I have no idea how this is going to happen. And man, if this doesn't work out, I'm going to be in trouble and I'm going to be out on a limb. That's where trust comes into play. And I'm afraid this morning that way too many Christians have missed out on God's great goodness because they don't actually trust in him. I'm not saying they don't come to church. I'm not saying they don't care about God. I'm not saying they don't read their Bible every once in a while or pray every once in a while. I'm not saying they don't try to do the right thing or serve a mission. I'm talking about when the push comes to shove and you actually have to make the decision of, man, this isn't just all who cares what happens. No, this is like I'm going to be in trouble if this doesn't work out. At that point saying, no, you know what? I'm going to trust in God and do what he's told me to do. Because that's when God's like, oh, okay, now I can do something great in your life because you've shown that you trust in me. And I can work and move and do what only I can do. You have to trust in the Lord. And some things that I see in this passage that go along with trusting in the Lord, I think first off, you see that what goes along with that is waiting on him and being patient. Something that goes along with trusting in the Lord is waiting on him and being patient. If you look in verse number 22, David says this. He says, for I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. You know, it's very easy to become hasty when it comes to God's timing, right? And I'm sure I'm not the only one that has ever been in that same spot as David when I'm trying to trust in God for something or I'm praying about something or I'm trying to see what's going to happen and all of a sudden, like, things aren't working out and God's timing isn't the way it should be that I think it should be. And all of a sudden, I say in my haste, oh, what's going on here, right? Man, is God actually going to take care of me? Is this actually worth it? Is God actually listening, right? Isn't that what's very easy for us to do as Christians? In our haste, oh no, I'm cut off from before the Lord. Oh no, this isn't going to work out. Oh no, I need to do something. Oh no, I need to fix this. Oh no, this isn't the way I thought it would be or how it should be, so I need to do something or fret or worry, right? We become so hasty. You need to be careful about that, Christian. Go over to, keep your spot here, but go over to Proverbs chapter 14. Kind of laugh, like I said, when I read that, because I'm like, I have been there many times, just like David, right? I said in my haste. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 29, the Bible says this. The Bible says, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. Right? Hasty of spirit. And what that means, once again, is you get, your spirit gets fretful. Your spirit gets, I don't say irritated, but anxious and worried and worked up, right? There's not a patience. There's not a peace, but it's just all like, something's going to happen. What's going on? And what's this say here? That he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. And that's what happens, Christian. Your spirit, that's where it starts, right? Before your actions, before the outward things, your spirit becomes hasty. Right? That part on the inside is like, well, I've got to do something, or why isn't this working out, or why isn't God fixing this, or why isn't God answering my prayer, and why is this not coming together, and why? All these things, right? And we become hasty in spirit. And you know what it does? It exalts folly. And then our mind starts to go in the wrong place, and our actions start to go in the wrong place. Why? Because we're not resting in the Lord. We're not trusting in the Lord. We're hasty, and our spirit is hasty, and something's going to happen, and something's going to... And that's not a good place to be, because if you go over to Proverbs chapter 19, and verse number 2, the Bible says this, Proverbs 19 and verse number 2, also, that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good, and he that hasteth with his feet sinneth. The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. You know what happens when you start to get hasty? Man, a lot of times you end up sinning against the Lord. Because you're not patient, you're not resting, you're not waiting. You are trying to make something happen. And guess what? It doesn't work when you try to make something happen. And so you start to kind of go outside of the Lord and what he wants to do, what you think needs to be done, and then you end up messing the whole thing up. And look, I'm not talking this morning. There needs to be moderation, right? So I'm not saying that means, you know, we always have to wait 5 years before we do something or whatever the case may be, right? If God tells you clearly to do something, you should do it, right? And it's just as wrong if God clearly shows you to do something to not do it than it is to rush into something if God doesn't tell you to do something, right? So you need to be moderate in that. But you know what I find a lot of times in my life? That I struggle more with trying to do something when God says to wait instead of waiting when God says to do something. I don't think I'm the only one. And what happens? We get hasty. We get all worked up. Our spirit just doesn't have any rest or any peace because, well, it really comes down to we don't trust God. Because we feel like we got to do something or God isn't working, right? And folks, I just want to encourage you tonight to remember that God knows what he's doing. Don't be hasty. Remember that God knows what he's doing. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. In verse number 11, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse number 11, the Bible says, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their hearts so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Do you believe that this evening, Christian? I mean, do you really believe that? Because once again, it's easy to just sit in church and be like, oh yeah, I believe that. But then you're in your life and things are going on and things are happening. Like, what? But that's what the Bible says about the Lord. That he makes everything beautiful. Right? Something that is good. Something that you look at and enjoy and like and is pleasant. But in his time. And so you know what you need to remind yourself sometimes when your spirit wants to be hasty and you want to be hasty in your actions and why hasn't this happened and why hasn't this worked? And I get it. I very much get it. Hey, God makes everything beautiful in his time. And you have to trust that. And you have to rest in that because that's what God said. Go to Psalm chapter 18. I feel like I reference these verses a whole lot when I preach, but they're really good verses. So maybe they'll get stuck in your head and you'll remember them. Amen. But Psalm 18, and remember too, these aren't just words on a page, amen. These are what God has put down and perfectly preserved and inspired and wrote for you and for me to read and to know and to trust in. This is what God has said, and that should hold some weight when we read them and think about them, amen. It's not just me getting up here saying, oh yeah, God will say, no, like the Lord said he'd make everything beautiful in his time. And these verses in Psalm chapter 18 and verse 30, it says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. And if you've heard me preach, you've heard me reference those verses quite a bit. But you know what it says? God's word, God himself, that, hey, my way is perfect. Do you believe that tonight? That God's way is perfect? Right? Sometimes it's hard to believe. Can we just be honest and real tonight? Sometimes it's like, okay, I know your words. And I'm going to say that God's way is perfect, but in verse number 32, it's God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. You know what he'll do if you trust in him and follow him? He will make your way perfect. Do you believe that tonight? That's what his word says. It doesn't say your way is going to be everything you thought it would be, and everything is going to go according to your plan, and everything's going to work out the way you wanted it to work out, and you're never going to have any reroutes or problems or right. But you know what it says? That God's way is perfect, and he makes our way perfect. And you should know, you just need to simply remember sometimes what he said and what he promised, that he makes everything beautiful in his time, and his way is perfect, and he maketh our way perfect. You know what we can do when we realize that's what God has said? Not the preacher, not the random person down the street, not even our mom or dad or brother or sister or husband or wife, but what God, when God has said those things, that you know what? We can rest in the Lord and wait patiently on him because of what he has said. Go to Psalm chapter 27. Psalm 27 and verse 13. The Bible says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Right? Twice in one verse where God says, you know, you need to wait on the Lord. Wait on him. You know, it's not fun waiting. And there's different people here tonight that are in different stages of waiting. There's some people that, you know what, it's been a couple weeks and you've tried waiting on the Lord for something and you're already like, I am done with this. And there's people that have been several years waiting on the Lord. And you know what, there's people that have waited 10 plus years. Now you still need to do wait on the Lord. Because as for God, his way is perfect. Because he makes everything beautiful in his time. And I get it, right? Like I said, 12 years for me, I had waited for Naomi. And there were times, okay, God, it's been a year. I've waited. I've learned how to be content. And God's like, ha, no, you haven't. And then 5 years, oh, yeah, God, I'm content. Ha, no, you haven't. Okay, God, it's been 10 years. No, you haven't. You know why? Because I needed to wait on the Lord. And I'm so glad I did. Because he makes everything beautiful in his time and his way is perfect. And so I understand it's not always easy. And I understand there's the part of us that's like, I have waited so long and it still hasn't. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage because he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You can wait on him. And waiting also, we won't get into that, waiting also means serve him too, right? That's what a waiter does is they serve. So don't just be patient, but also find something to do for him. But wait on the Lord. Go to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Psalm 37 in verse number 7, the Bible says this. The Bible says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Rest in the Lord. And what? Wait, not just wait, but wait patiently for him. And that's the part that sometimes stinks, because we have to kind of sometimes wait because we can't do anything about it. I couldn't make a wife appear. So I had to wait whether I wanted to or not. But you know what the difference is? Waiting patiently versus not waiting patiently. You know, if I had some kids up here in the front row, maybe some of the teens, no, not as bad. But you know, you said, hey, you know, you have to wait till the service is done. You know what you'd find? Maybe one or two that, like, you know, waited patiently, but most would be like, you know, doing all this stuff and thinking, well, they're not waiting patiently because they're like, I'm going to get out of here, I'm going to do something right. But someone waits patiently. They're just calm. They're sitting there. They're just, okay, I'm here until he's done and then I can go. You know, sometimes we are as Christians, God says, hey, wait patiently. And okay, we sit there because we have to, but then we're like, you know, finagling things and doing stuff and we're not just waiting patiently. I was that kid, okay? I was that kid when I was young that did all the things, and my parents could tell you so. But you don't go, he wants you to enjoy it while you're there. And look, you can enjoy where you're at while you're there, because Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Being abased, being exalted, all those things. And that patience and resting in the Lord doesn't mean, yeah, you're waiting because you have to, but you're anxious and you're stressed and you're depressed. And look, sometimes we go through some of those things, but you have a peace. And I'm okay because I trust God. And yeah, I want something, or I'm praying for something, or I desire something, or I need something. But God knows what he's doing, and so I can just wait patiently and I can rest. I can relax. And one thing I was thinking about too, you know what? I don't want to be that person. I was thinking of some today about something different. But I don't want to be that person. I hate when I'm that person that, you know what, God's promised something or God's told me something and I have a bad attitude about it, or I start doing things I shouldn't and I'm not waiting patiently, and then God goes ahead and does something and then I feel like an idiot and I feel like this big because I'm like, well, I feel stupid now, right? Because I didn't trust him and I was complaining and I had a bad attitude and all of a sudden God does something good and you're like, oh, yeah, sorry, Lord. You know what feels a lot better when you do wait, when you do your best to have some patience and trust, and then God does it, and you can, hey, you know what? I did what I was supposed to do, right? Maybe I wasn't always perfect, but I trusted it, and God came through, and I can rejoice now, not feel like I have to get on the altar and ask God's forgiveness because I had a bad attitude. Rest patiently. And go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. I'm just talking tonight about trusting in the Lord. Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 35, the Bible says this. It says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. You know what you might need tonight? Patience. Because you might have done the will of God. You might be in the will of God, doing everything you're... But that still doesn't mean that God's just going to be like, okay, here's everything you want. You might need patience to receive the thing that God has promised you or said that you would do. And that's sometimes what we struggle with. That's what I struggled with a lot, right? The time waiting of like, okay, God, I'm doing right. I'm doing your will. I'm not sinning. I'm not wicked. I'm not being impatient. I'm doing, you know, God said, yeah, but you still need some patience. You still need to wait on my timing and my way. And sometimes I think that's what gets to us, is when we're doing right and God doesn't see me. Well, maybe you just need some patience. And trust in his timing and in his way. And when he knows what he's doing. His way's perfect. He makes everything beautiful in his time. But I'm just trying to talk tonight about waiting on him and being patient. That's hard to do. It's really hard to do. But it's worth it. Because God has great goodness laid up in store for those that trust in him. And we'll get through the rest of this quick. And trusting in the Lord, one thing that goes along with it is waiting on him and being patient. But also what goes along with that is having a relationship with the Lord, having a walk with God. Because you look in verse 22 of Psalm chapter 31, it says, for I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O love the Lord, all ye his saints. You know, when David faced trouble or hardship, his natural response was to bring it to God and talk to God. Right, even in the midst of him being in haste, even in the midst of him being like, man, I'm cut off and I'm in grief. You know what he still did? He came to God with it. He brought it to the Lord. He had that relationship with God of not turning to his friends or his family. No, I'm going to God because God is the one that can help me. That was the kind of relationship and fellowship David had with the Lord. He had a love for God. And you know, Christian, that's what you and I need. That closeness with the Lord, that when it comes to these times of trouble and trials or praying for things or waiting on things, that man, he's the one that we turn to and he's the one we cry out to and he's the one that we go to for help. Because you know, if you don't have a close relationship and love for the Lord, you're not really going to trust him. I promise you that tonight. I'm not talking about going to church. I'm not talking about being involved in a ministry. I'm not talking about doing that. I'm talking about if you personally do not have a walk with God and a relationship, a personal, not your parents have one or your spouse has one or this person. If you personally do not have that relationship, you aren't going to trust him. because you're not going to have that closeness. Yeah, maybe when it comes to things that don't really matter, aren't that big, but yeah, you can trust. But when those things come that, man, it's life-altering, it's life-changing, it's scary because what's going to happen, you're not going to follow God if you don't have a close walk with him. And your parents' relationship isn't going to be enough, and your pastor's relationship's not going to be enough, and your spouse's relationship's not going to be enough. You have to have that walk with him to say, you know what? No, I know him. And I love him. And I know who he is and what he means to me. And I can trust in him that he's going to carry me through. That's what gives you the strength to do that. In Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Right? You need that to live spiritually. Right? Because there's many Christians who don't read their Bible or spend time with God. And they live physically and they're walking around and all. But spiritually, man, they're not going to have the strength to trust God. They're not being fed by his word. Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You're not going to have faith if you're not getting in the word of God, not having that trust. John 15, abide in me and I in you. Without me, ye can do nothing. Christian, I'm just trying to say, like, that's real life stuff that we need to realize our walk with God helps in trusting him. In those big decisions, in those crazy things. And can I just say tonight, as a Christian, why would you neglect the greatest thing that God gave to you? You know what the greatest thing God gave to you was? The ability to have a personal relationship with him. The God of all heaven, the God of all eternity and all creation gave you the ability to cry, Abba, Father, and walk with him and talk with him and read his word so he can speak to you and pray and speak. That's an amazing thing tonight. And you know what I've learned in my life? How awesome and amazing it is to be able to come to God and just get his help because I know I need it. And especially now, too, that I'm engaged and I have a woman that I love and that loves me and is looking to me for some guidance and direction. You know what I need? God, this is a big deal because she's looking to me for help, for guidance, for direct. That's a big deal, and I need the Lord's help because I have enough problems of my own. And we're going to get married in June, and there's some big decisions we have to make and, like, life-changing. You know who that falls on me as the leader of the marriage. You know what I... God, give me wisdom for this because I don't always know what I'm supposed to do. And it's so amazing to be able to come to God, Brother Jay, the one that knows everything, that made everything, that knows the future and plan, and say, God, I'm kind of an idiot. I'm sorry. Can you give me some wisdom and direction and help? If any of you lack wisdom, let him come to God, which giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. That is an amazing thing that any time I can read his word and find help, and any time I can pray and go to him and just say, God, would you help me? And he does. That's even crazier. Not that I can do it, but he helps. And yet how many Christians don't take advantage of that and neglect that? And can I just say tonight, and I'm not trying to be mean, but if you're saved and born again, you're a fool if you don't have a daily walk with God. If you're not daily in his word and praying, you're a fool. I'm not saying that to be mean, but the Bible says in Proverbs that fools despise wisdom and instruction. And God gave you, and you know who you are, a wicked, vile sinner just like myself that deserves help. God gave you the ability to walk with him and talk with him and get help from him and come to him anytime. You don't need to come to a church. You don't have to do some religious. You can open up your Bible anytime. You can pray anytime. You can do all those things. God gave you that ability to fellowship with him. And yet you despise it every day by saying, no, God, I really don't need you. And you can talk all you want about how much you need God and how important God is. But you know really what you're doing when day by day and week by week goes by and you're not spending any time in his word and you're not spending any time in prayer? You're really telling God, I really don't need you. I got it covered. And I'm not the only one here tonight that needs the Lord's wisdom and help in his life. And I'm not trying to be mean by that. I'm just trying to say, what are we doing? It's an amazing thing that God is there for us. And God can help us. Why wouldn't you want to do it? I'm not talking about, oh, you need to read so many chapters, you need to pray for so many minutes. I'm just talking about having a desire to, because I don't mistake me, I'm that knows I need God. And know I need to come to him for help and direction and guidance. Do you not have that tonight? Do you not have something inside of you that says, I need the Lord? It's not some religious thing. It's coming to God and day by day and week by week. And the only time you pick this up is when you really spend any time in prayer, is maybe when other people are doing. And that doesn't bother you. I'm not trying to meet, but are you that full of yourself? Do you think you're that great and amazing that you got life figured out and covered, that you don't need the Lord? Fools despise wisdom and instruction. I'm not saying that to be mean tonight. I'm trying to say God gave you and me something amazing and incredible that any time we can come. And like I said, I'm not saying you don't read five chapters and you didn't pray for half an hour. I'm just saying something inside you that goes, man, I want to talk to God and have God talk to me because I need him. I don't read this thing and pray because I'm spiritual and godly. I pray because I do it because I'm not. And I need the Lord. And so many Christians don't trust in God because they don't have a walk with him. And they don't have a relationship. Trusting in the Lord. Need to wait on him and be patient. Need to have a relationship with the Lord. And if we could just have a piano player come, I'm done tonight. I'm past my time. But be faithful. Be faithful. You know, it goes with trusting in the Lord, being faithful. In verse 23, it says, O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful, and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Sometimes trusting in the Lord means simply continuing to do what God wants you to do.
Doesn't mean you always feel like it. Doesn't mean it's always easy. Doesn't mean you're always like,
but you do it because God wants me to do it. Yeah, sometimes it is reading my Bible because God wants me to do it. It's praying because God wants me to do it. It's being faithful to church because God wants me to do it. But you know what? Even if you may not feel like it, you are still trusting in the Lord. You know why? Because you're showing God, hey, I maybe don't feel like it. I maybe don't see the how it's going to happen, but you told me to do it. So God, I'm trusting you that if I do it, you're going to take care of me. Being faithful. That's part of trusting in the Lord. Paul said, I've finished my course. I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I guarantee you, Paul didn't always feel like living for God. You think about all the people that turned his back on him and forsook him and the stonings and the suffering and the being in prison. I'm sure there were times that Paul was like, man, is this really worth it? Because he was human. But you know, he said, I fought a good fight. He fought. In the battle, he kept going for it and he finished his course. He was faithful. And Christian, have the courage to trust that God is going to bless you for being faithful. And yes, you shouldn't be that way all the time, right? If you're always just doing it because I feel like I have to do it, then there's something wrong. But in those times where, okay, maybe I'm struggling and maybe my faith isn't what it should be and maybe my heart isn't where it should be and yeah, maybe I'm just feel like I'm kind of doing it because I'm supposed to. Have the courage that God's going to bless you for being faithful. He's going to see your faithfulness and see you fight and see you go forward. And as verse 24, be of good courage and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. He'll give you the strength to go forward, to do what's right, to get past that battle, to then get in the spot where you do feel like doing it, amen. But be faithful. And so how about it tonight, church, with heads bowed and eyes closed as the piano plays? God's great goodness. He is good. And he has great goodness in store for you. But you know what? You need to fear the Lord and you need to trust in him. And so how is that for you tonight? How's your trust? Are you waiting on him and being patient? How's your relationship? How's your walk with God? I'm not talking about how often do you come to church. I'm not talking about what ministries you're in. I'm not talking about what you do. I'm talking about your personal relationship with the Lord. I
Maybe tonight you just need the Lord, need to pray some and say, Lord, help me to be faithful. Maybe you're in that moment and spot where it's a little difficult. You know what? That's okay. The Lord knows. And it's okay to pray, God, help me to be faithful. Because you're trusting him in that. That he's going to take care of you. So as the piano plays, I'm going to be quiet now. You do business with the Lord. Dear Father, Lord, thank you for this night, God. Thank you, Father, for your goodness to us. Thank you for being a great God and a great Savior. Thank you, Lord, for the great goodness, Lord, that you do give us. And Lord, even if all you ever did was save us, God, that would be enough. And that would be above and beyond what we deserve. But God, above and beyond that, Lord, you show kindness and mercy and grace. And Lord, you do amazing things in our lives. And God, I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for what you've done in my life and what you've done for me and the great goodness you've shown me. And God, I know we're human. And God, I know myself, God, that even in the midst of that, it's still easy to be just like the Israelites and fall away or have our hearts turned away or be unthankful. But God, I pray tonight we would realize that. That you are good. Pastor preached this morning. And Lord, there is great goodness in store for those that fear you and trust in you. And so, Father, I pray that tonight we would be people that do that. Lord, that Faith Baptist Church be full of Christians who fear the Lord and trust in you. And God, that's not always easy. But God, it's worth it. And so, Lord, I pray for just these folks tonight. Lord, I know maybe I said some things that maybe a little hard, but God, I want to try to help, Lord. I want to just help them realize the importance of some of these things. And God, it's real, and it's things we should focus on and think about it. And so, Lord, I pray that my spirit was right, and Lord, they Lord, see the heart that was behind it. But God, sometimes we need to hear things like that. And Lord, I don't want it to just be something that's done because, well, the preacher said it, but Lord, that you'd be the one to work in hearts, and Lord, you'd be the one to make it real to these folks. God, I'm just a vessel. I'm just a nobody. But Lord, I pray that your word would accomplish its purpose in the hearts of these folks here tonight. Whatever it was, maybe it was the topic of tonight, maybe it's something completely different, but you just spoke to them in a way. But God, I pray you do the work. Lord, bless those that made some decisions or, Lord, talk to you about some things. I pray you bless their prayers. And Lord, help all of us to fear you, trust in you, God. And I pray you would. In this coming year, Lord, show some of your great goodness to these faithful folks, Father. Lord, we have good folks and good Christian folks in our church. And I thank you so much for that, God. And Lord, I pray you'd answer their prayers and their desires. And Lord, they'd see the great things that you can do. But Lord, if maybe your will is for them to continue to be patient and wait, I pray you'd give them grace and strength. Lord, I know you've done that for me and you can do that for them. So please, Lord, bless them and help them. God, give us a good night. Bless us this week. Lord, bless us as we go into the new year. Father, help us to live for you and serve you. And once again, just to have that personal walk with you. And so, Father, we love you and thank you. Dismiss us with your blessing. Thank you for being so great and so good. You deserve all the glory and praise and honor because you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thank you for being here tonight, everyone. You are all dismissed. Have a great day. And see you. Remember, Wednesday night is our New Year's Eve service, 7 o'clock. No Thursday night service, Wednesday night. Sign up for rollerblading if you're interested. Have a good night.